You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Slavery may not be legal, but it is alive and well, even in the United States. Slavery and prostitution is the only explanation from this man in Queens, New York, for instance, for why his wife from Thailand is never at home.
I don't know what it is, but she disappears for days on end. Yesterday, she was knocked out with the drugs and all that, and she got up around 1 o'clock. I drove her to the train station, and she didn't come back until 4 in the morning. Now, she might have had a date. I mean, she was definitely working as a prostitute last night. She got arrested at one of these massage parlors in February of 2008. And a lot of people, when they hear this, say, well, that's all she knows.
Hard to fathom voice there, but it comes from a major investigation of the business of human trafficking, the story of how people largely from Asia are brought to the U.S. East Coast and made to work in the sex trade. It's an investigation by our partner station WGBH in Boston and reporter Philip Martin, who we've spoken with many times on this program. The federal government has made fighting human trafficking a priority, but how challenging is it to make a dent in a business where plenty of demand in the U.S. apparently drives people to enslave others and drives women to step into a life from which they often cannot extricate themselves? With us now is Allison Keel Friedman, Deputy Director for the Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons, an office inside the U.S. State Department. Allison, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So the president has made dealing with human trafficking a top priority. What's hard about actually making a dent in the business in the United States?
Trafficking is first and foremost a crime. So the president recognizes that not only is this a crime where the government has a primary responsibility to prosecute traffickers and provide services to those survivors of trafficking, but that it's also, as he said, one of the greatest human rights causes of our time. As much as we prioritize it, the reality is, though, that it's still a hidden crime. And it works its way into places all over the country. We see it, or we don't see it, right next door in a domestic worker that is enslaved in somebody's house or on a street where, you know, I think most of society understands that children can't consent to sex, but as soon as money starts changing hands, children are often viewed as the criminals rather than the victims of this crime and overlooked by police. And so as much as the federal government and good local officials are committed to combating this crime, the reality is that many human trafficking victims' first contact with a government official is not going to be an FBI agent. It's going to be the beat cop or the healthcare official or the school teacher. And most people still don't know that this crime exists or how to identify it.
Well, you've described some very hyper-local sort of entry points for dealing with this. I'm wondering what the federal government's role is, as you see it, in dealing with human trafficking. Is it as delivering a message? Is it dealing with foreign governments? What would you say?
I would say all of the above. This year was the first year we had a cabinet meeting at the White House exclusively on this issue. But also I work for an office who's, you know, well integrated within the State Department and about making sure that in all of our diplomatic engagements, we're raising the issue of trafficking in persons. This is something that's deeply personal to the United States, given our history with slavery and looking at modern slavery, but it's also something that's intrinsically connected to our security, our economic, and our human rights priorities around the world.
I want to play you something from one of Philip Martin's stories from WGBH, our partner station. Here is a woman that the reporter met who describes the story of how she ended up in the sex trade. Listen.
After I got to New York, I wanted to find a job. So people told me, read the newspaper, and then you will find a job. So I responded to the ad on the newspaper and found a job in a massage parlor. At the time, I thought it was just massages and didn't think more about anything. And the boss told me I needed to give my passport to them so I will not run away with their money. So the boss put me in a car and drove me to somewhere. And I had no idea where I was going. And after I got there, they forced me to do sex work.
Now that's from Philip Martin's story on WGBH. It's a woman from Guangxi, China, who was on a tourist visa and came in at the JFK airport here in New York. How do you respond to a story like that? She's looking for a job, okay, nothing illegal about that. She got a tourist visa. Tourist visas are plentiful in places like China, relatively speaking. She responds to an ad in the newspaper, goes to a massage parlor, all perfectly legal. The boss takes her passport. What's the fix there? What's the intervention point there?
I think one of the parts of her story that she raises that we hear all over the world is that traffickers frequently control one prey on hope and frequently control people by controlling their identity documents. And so we have worked very hard within the State Department and partnering with nonprofit organizations to make sure that everybody who comes into this country on a visa gets a pamphlet that explains to them their rights, including their ability to control their documents, and then gives them the government-funded but nonprofit-run hotline number, 888-3737-888, so that if they encounter any problems, they can connect to NGOs that are committed, who can also then refer to government to make sure that the rule of law extends to them. But it goes back to your original question. This is a difficult crime to combat. It's hidden, and making sure that more people know and know what to do is the best way that we can start connecting with victims of human trafficking.
What's that hotline number again?
888-3737-888.
And the State Department will be issuing its ranking of nations on the issue of human trafficking. When is that expected?
June.
I see. And every nation, including the United States, is ranked, correct?
Every nation, including the United States.
Allison Keel Friedman, Deputy Director for the Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons, speaking to us from our BBC studios in Washington. She's part of the State Department. Thanks so much, Allison.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.